just give me a second to get up. I can start off by giving the council just a quick overview. If you look under tab 1, document 4, you'll see there's a list of there's some goals, some draft goals, and draft potential outcomes that the Northeast Regional Planning Body has put together. And I brought this to our April meeting, and I promised to give the opportunity for the council to comment on these goals as we at our June meeting here. These draft goals and outcomes have gone out to 9 out of 10 public meetings. So far, those meetings have been taking place from New Haven, Connecticut, out to Ellsworth, Maine. And the final one will be in New Hampshire next week. And even after that, there'll be the opportunity for people to provide comment, probably through sometime around in July. And the intent here was we were going to have John give you a little bit of input over what some of the comments that they've already heard from some of the 9 public meetings they've had on this. And then, again, give you folks an opportunity to provide any comments that you would like here. And not seeing John at this point, I can't give you an overview of the meetings, but I would offer, if I think he was planning on putting up and going over each one of these goals, and I'd be glad to, if you'd like, I could try and have Karen put up this document so that we could go over these goals and give people a chance to provide any comment on it.
Please.
Well, you're going to have to give me a minute to get this over to Karen.
Okay. Document 4?
Yeah.
It's just coming.
If you can put that up on the...
What page?
Probably the first goal is on page 2. Goal of effective decision-making. Timing is everything. So, John, what I've done is I've sort of teed it up and gave an overview of where this document is. That we've had 9 out of the 10 public hearings. You can give them an overview, and then we can go through the goals here.
Perfect. Doug, thank you. Mr. Chair, thank you. Apologize for being a couple minutes tardy. So I will not repeat what I'm sure was a great overview from Doug. What I will jump into is just to give you all a flavor of the sort of the discussion, the participation that we've had to date. Ouch.
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 That's going to solve the problem. Since we've been having trouble with that mic. Okay.
Thank you, Chris. So as Doug said, we've had 9 meetings. But actually, I would also say that, we have been doing a lot of additional outreach and conversations, as many of you know, because you've been at some of those and heard us talk before, in addition to these 9 meetings. So that's really important background for sort of how we've gotten to the point of where we're at with these draft goals, is that they also reflect not only conversations that the regional planning body has had, but some of the other engagement that we've done. So in terms of sort of how the meetings have gone so far, we've had 9. Attendance has ranged from about 15 to maybe 50 or so people. That's nice. You always wish that it was better than that. So one of the things that we've heard often is that, you know, there is additional work that we need to do to reach out to people who are not in the room at that time. We fully agree with that. And so we are actively thinking about and getting suggestions on how exactly to do that. So also to that point, if some of you have noticed that there was, in this, associated with this draft document, there was a deadline for public comment, and we had asked people to comment by June 28th. That's extended. I mean, this conversation needs to continue. We understand that and expect it to continue beyond. More specifically, in terms of the feedback that we've gotten to date at these meetings, I would say that the comments have kind of gone the lines of, we think you are on the right track. This looks generally appropriate. The first part of this document sets out some framing principles, and people have, I think, really appreciated that, because one of the things that that does is reminds everybody, including us, you know, sort of the niche that this effort may ultimately fill. So that's been helpful. In terms of sort of specifics and comments overall on the goals, the one thing that I would say, which we absolutely also agree on, is that they need more definition. We need to be more specific in terms of, say, in effective decision-making, the one we're looking at here. If you're looking at potential outcome 1 up there, improved decision-making time, as a result of better coordination among agencies, et cetera, et cetera. People saying, well, how exactly would you do that? What we need to hear more about what exactly that would mean in practice, which we fully agree on. And I think you can sort of, that is an overall comment that we've gotten. We have, at these meetings, had some suggestions on how to exactly to do that, places where there could be opportunities to do that. So that has been very helpful. Specific to the goal on the one that we were just looking at on effective decision making, I think when, you know, people have generally said yes, you know, that's good, that's mom and apple pie almost. We need to, you don't want to overpromise here. You need to prioritize among the things that you're talking about. And in particular, priorities to date seem to, if you look at the actions that are listed there, people really seem to latch on to the first, which is incorporating regional data into regulatory processes. Although, again, this is an area where people really want to see specifics. This also relates directly to the work that we've been doing on mapping, and so there's a conversation there that needs to happen as well. And then people like number 2. People are very interested in number 3 in particular, which is, and again, asking for specific ways how to inform and engage the public better for decision making. So, you know, I'll stop there for the purpose of this conversation right now, because I think, Doug, what we wanted to do was kind of go goal by goal and step through these. So I'll stop there and happy to answer any other questions or have a conversation.
Anybody have questions for John on this section?
So moving on, the second goal there under healthy ocean and coastal ecosystems, people have generally sort of appreciated that, and in fact in a lot of conversations that we've had, people have suggested that this needs to be the priority overall for the whole effort, because everything that we do depends on that. Which we all agree on. Where we've had a lot more conversation about this has been on the specifics of how you would get at that, and this has taken a couple of different forms. One is to recognize existing work that's already going on. And so, you know, how do you, and the intention here is not to replace any of that work, but build on it where appropriate and make some connections also where appropriate. So that's been a big part of the conversation. Particularly in this conversation, we have had a lot of talk and a lot of feedback about things like changing environmental conditions, either due to climate change or other forces. And how exactly would you seek to get a better handle of that on that? A lot of conversation about that, you know, some people doing work in that area, but people have really gone to that point in particular as a point of conversation that they would like to see more developed for that. The final point I would say on this is that people have also been reminding us that this whole effort is about working within existing regulations, existing programs, recognizing, you know, existing NAC federal authorities related to managing fish, related to managing energy, et cetera. So a reminder of that is very important as to how this effort then intersects with that thinking. The final thing I would say on this point that we've heard a lot on is under potential actions number 6, which is prioritizing science and research needs. And people seeing that as this is potentially a very good outcome of this whole effort if this can help lend voice to those needs which have already been identified and some of those are being worked on already.
Questions for John on this section?
So the third goal here, which talks about compatibility among past, current, and future ocean uses, honestly, I think people have had the most questions for us on what exactly this means and how exactly we would get at some of the outcomes that we're talking about here. So when we've had those conversations, we have tried to engage folks in, you know, some thoughts, particularly about some of the potential actions that are listed under there. So you can see some of those themselves. But this has also gotten to a point where people have said, so what we really need to do is, as part of doing this, is figure out ways to get new and potential users of ocean space to talk to each other in a better way. Because some of those issues that relate to compatibility and reducing conflicts, some of that maybe needs to be worked out in a non-governmental kind of way. Let private industries go off and do some of that work on by themselves. So is there a role for this type of effort to convene conversations about that? That's one type of specific example that we've had. Another suggestion and sometimes concern has been that some of particularly what's talked about in the third action there, which is a lot of that is talking about assessing current and foreseeable trends, people are saying, well, that's darn near impossible to do for some things. How do you do that, for example, with things like fishing? How exactly would you do that? So, you know, some real open conversation about the appropriateness or potential path forward on a way to do that, which has been very helpful. I think I'll stop there.
John Bullard.
John, first of all, good to see you again. Secondly, on this goal, as I've worked with you on marine spatial planning, or whatever it's going by, whatever eyes glaze over term it's going by nowadays, this goal is the one that draws attention, and the issue of wind turbines and fishing is one that galvanizes people's attention. Is it conflict? Is it synergy? I look at the city of New Bedford, where on adjacent docks you have a wind turbine staging area next to docks for fishing fleet, and you with the belief that these things can happen, the job creation can happen for both industries. And so my question is, where you have, what is the role of the Fishery Management Council, this council? Chairman Robbins has spent an awful lot of energy trying to position the Mid-Atlantic Council in the nexus with BOEM of fishing and turbine development, new uses and historical uses. How do you see the role of this council, the New England Council, in this this goal, compatibility among past, current, future uses, specifically fishing and turbine development?
I think it's a great question. I think I mean, I can give you some thoughts on this, but obviously, you know, this is for the council to decide clearly. One of the, you know, some, there have been efforts, sometimes led by BOEM, sometimes led by others, to convene member, you know, representatives of, say, the offshore wind industry and the fishing community to start talking through some of the very practical issues that this may bring. That is a potential role. I know BOEM, you know, staff have been present at previous council meetings to provide updates, but that's kind of an update on sort of the process and what's happened over the past. And as things appear to be moving forward, perhaps that's a role there. I think that there have, you know, there are also conversations about sort of data and information sharing that are probably very important to continue and possibly expand upon. A lot of the work, as you know, that we've been doing is trying to just develop information with kind of the belief that that is, you know, a better basis of information leads to hopefully better decisions in the end. I mean, that's kind of very general, but there are some specific examples where that could be a place as well. Couple ideas that come up to the top of my head.
John, I have one question on this section. Under the potential outcomes, item two is the maps of existing human uses identification. I don't know why I had it in my head that wasn't a potential outcome, but that was one of the things that you were going to do to basically have a GIS layered database of all of the uses and how they potentially conflict.
You're absolutely right in that. I think this is here because we think we have started to do some of that, but I think by no means do we think that we are, you know, fully complete with that. So, for example, with the fisheries mapping work that we've done, when we've been out talking to the industry and scientists and managers about this, there are gaps in what existing information that we have right now. Some of those are very large gaps that you could drive a very good-sized boat through. So, you know, having conversations about how to fill those gaps is, I think, part of the intent in this. But you're right in that a lot of that is reflecting of the work that we've already done. And I would say it's also not just with fishing. It's with other activities out there. Certainly recreational uses, recreational fishing as another very specific example, other activities as well.
Dave Gaisel.
Yeah, under the third, number three for potential actions, most of them start with assess current, which I think is excellent until you get to agriculture, then it says assess potential. I mean, I think we should assess current as well. We already have quite a bit of aquaculture in New England. Most of it may be near shore, but it's still in the ocean. We cited one yesterday. We had one, and that brings up the second point I have, which is I think getting these maps and baselines is very important so that everybody can see what everybody else is doing, and that'll tell us how crowded things are already. But the next thing I think needs to be done, and I don't really see it listed here, is to provide best practices for citing new applications, new marine uses. And the reason I say that is because it appears that this program that was cited yesterday is going to successfully integrate itself into the fishery because they consulted with a mobile gear fisherman and a fixed gear fisherman who fished that area, and they came up with an area that's not being used by either fishery to any great degree so that everybody can get along, whereas they could have just gone out and flopped it a couple miles either way from where it is and created World War III. So I think that provides a case of a best practice, and I think we're going to have to develop a list of best practices for all these people so that they can all, you know, play well in the sandbox together, because it's a pretty small box. So I would like to see maybe a bullet added to provide or develop best practices. Thank you.
Good. I think that's a great comment, and thank you for that. And it also brings me back to my mind, you know, John, comment a question you had before about a role for things like the council. Yeah, you will be aware of examples like that, or practices that are good and practices to avoid based on experience, and that is extraordinarily valuable place to have that kind of conversation as well.
And that kind of feedback should go through Doug as the council's representative back to you or to NROC or to the
Certainly yes. I mean that any comments that the or any input that this council wants to provide, I'm the person that you designated to represent this council on the regional planning body. Now, another way, and you may have been aware of this at your executive committee, that we were looking at potentially getting some input from people in the fishing industry, is to try and tap into our advisory panel here, not to have special meetings on spatial planning or any of the things that we're doing here, but when they are having a meeting, an AP meeting on monkfish, and we have some input, we need to have their advice on certain things that might involve the fishing industry input, that we would put that as an agenda item on the AP. And that's one of the mechanisms, and actually one of the things that I hope we can talk about a little bit later, either or the executive committee, is how we're going to get that word out to our AP chairs, to our committee chairs in the PDT, that, you know, this may be on an occasional basis something that needs to get on, that we'd like to have on the AP agendas when they meet for other reasons.
John, you
Just very quickly to add to that, also very important, you know, thinking back to Dave, but to your comment about the importance of the baseline assessment, we fully agree with that. And I think, you know, part of building that baseline assessment, say if you're looking at a map of safe fishing, for example, is to have folks take a look at that, as many people as we can with experience on the water, knowledge of what's going on, et cetera, to help build that. So, you know, that could be a very immediate point of entry for such a conversation that you're bringing up, Doug.
Any other items for us?
Just the last point that I would make is that we've also had a lot of comments about the overall process and the need to be to work better, to do more, to be really fully inclusive and transparent. And so, you know, we are welcome to any and all specific ideas on how to do that. We have some we will be pursuing, as I've said before.
Great. Any other council questions for John? Thank you very much for coming to chat with us today.
Thank you, and again, apologize for being a few minutes tardy.
No problem.
Thank you.
Doug, we will move on to SBRM.